Welcome to the Planet Prana Yoga and Meditation Podcast with your host, Zen Jen. My mission is to spread awareness about the practice of yoga and to shine a spotlight on the amazing yoga community of Cleveland, Ohio. Practice, connect, grow, and heal. Hello, everyone. I am your host, Zen Jen, and this is episode 26 of the Planet Prana Yoga and Meditation Podcast. Thank you so much for listening today. So we're back. We're back for season three. Yes, I decided to keep it up. I hope you guys are all having a fantastic summer and really enjoying the beauty of life and the world around you. So I first want to start by mentioning that I am looking for sponsors for the podcast. I'm reaching out to my listeners and anyone in the yoga and wellness industry to respectfully request your sponsorship for the podcast. So please email me, planetprana@gmail.com, if you are interested and for more details and information about sponsorship. Season three is going to be fabulous. It's going to feature episodes on yoga and women's health, yoga psychology, Ayurveda, aromatherapy, yoga for children in underserved communities, and so much more. So it's going to be a great season, and I would love to have you sponsor me. Second, I'd like to invite those of you in Cleveland to join me for our first restorative resonance collaboration this fall on Saturday, September 23rd from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. Please join myself and Carol of Floating Lotus Wellness for 90 minutes of restorative yoga, embellished deliciously with sound therapy at the Ideal Method in Independence. We do encourage you to sign up in advance for that. You can go to floatinglotuswellness.com/events to sign up, and you can receive a discount for signing up with two or more friends at a time. Okay, so let's talk about this episode. I'm very excited about it. This is a two-part episode featuring an interview with Jennifer Langsdale of Awaken Yoga in Mentor, Ohio, and a 90-minute goddess intoxication class also led by Jennifer. Jennifer is the owner and director of Awaken Yoga, again in Mentor, Ohio, and she is on a mission to help women embrace the sacred feminine through yogic practices. She has developed retreat-style yoga and mindfulness programming specifically for women. In our conversation, Jennifer shares about her mission with women-specific programming. We also talk about her background and teachers. We go into some detail about the studio and its programming as a yoga school, and her own brand, Inner Wisdom, which is energy and chakra yoga therapy work. Her passion for the transformative power of the goddess is contagious. You'll see what I mean when you listen. And then part two, which will be in a separate recording, is a 90-minute live class recording from August 30th of the Goddess Intoxication Workshop. This is meant to be a sample class for the upcoming Goddess Intoxication Retreats at Awaken Yoga on September 30th and or December 2nd of this fall, this year, 2017. They will both be a little different, so you should go to both. But this practice recorded is a very powerful practice of chanting, breathing, and movement, all celebrating four Hindu goddesses, Durga, Kali, Lakshmi, and Saraswati. The practice is designed for women, but men are certainly welcome to join and explore the power of the feminine. You'll see some details about the sequencing on the website post. I will add that I did attend this class and it really did stir something up in me that's kind of continues to well up over the last couple of weeks. So it's been a couple weeks since I recorded the class and attended the class, and I feel more and more goddess awareness, which has been pretty profound pretty quickly. So I hope you enjoy that. Okay, so we'll move on to the episode, but some final reminders about the podcast. The podcast lives at my website, planetprana.com. There you can link to the episode post, which has show notes and resources. You can listen there as well, and there'll be lots of links to things that we talk about in the episode. I ask you to please consider leaving a review on iTunes if you do listen on iTunes. It really helps me get a little more exposure in iTunes. Also, please consider sharing with friends and family who you think might enjoy or benefit from the content of this podcast. And as always, feel free to reach out to me anytime with an email, planetprana@gmail.com. And I always like to finish the introduction with a reminder of your true nature. You are a radiant and boundless being of light and vibration. Be guided by love and compassion for yourself, for all beings, and our beautiful home, planet Earth. Thank you for listening and enjoy episode 26. So we are here with Jennifer Langsdale at, is that how you say your name?
Yes.
Okay, good. At Awaken Yoga and Mentor. Thank you so much for joining us today for the podcast.
Excellent. It's my pleasure. I love everything you're doing.
Oh.
I think it's fabulous.
Thank you.
Yes, you're pulling us all together. I think it's great.
Yeah, that's my goal.
Yeah.
And I love the work that you're doing here. So you just led us through this amazing sample of your goddess intoxication class, which we're going to get to a little bit later.
Okay.
But I will let everyone know that that's going to be part B of the podcast episode. It's going to be an A and B part.
Okay.
So that'll be part B, the class. But let's kind of rewind and go focus on you, and let's go and start with your yoga story.
Okay.
Like, when did you find the practice? How did you find it?
I found the practice, I was working at Progressive, and life was sucking out of me. I answered phones, I didn't make much money, I was really good at what I did, I had a good personality for talking to people and getting them to trust me and stuff like that, and I did really have an interest in helping them.
Yeah.
I was always a spiritual person. Most of my time outside of my 40-hour-a-week job was spent reading. I belly danced.
Nice.
Belly dancing was amazing and totally awoke my second chakra without me even knowing.
Yeah.
I had no coordination. I had no skill. And then she always warmed us up with, like, it kept getting longer. It was like 20 minutes of Iyengar yoga, then 30 minutes, then 40 minutes. And then all of a sudden it would be like half the class was Iyengar yoga and half of it was movement. And her belly dance was no joke. It was very integrative. You had to understand the inner workings of basically your pelvis and everything. And I remember one day I was doing Cobra and I was in a really bad relationship with a man who was married and had a child when he was with me, and I had no idea.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So I was starting to, like, get the picture that something was way off, and as you'll hear later, most of my work is, like, deep shadow work, understanding the inner parts of us that we suppress.
Yeah.
And I pop up into a cobra, and I wanted to scream and leave the room. It was so weird. It was just energetically the heart,
yeah,
all the stuff I'd been hiding, and I didn't understand. So I went home and laid in child's pose and cried for about an hour. And then It was around that time
yeah.
that the yoga teacher training in the area, pretty much the only one was Jan and Judy over at Try for Life.
That's my first training.
There you go. Mm-hmm. A lot of us veterans have had, mm-hmm. that is their first. Mm-hmm. And it was like a catalog. It came in the mail and it said you could be a yoga teacher, but it said you didn't say anything about having to teach.
Yeah.
So I was doing some stuff at the Atma Center too. Like, they're one mm-hmm. of the best places to just learn about yoga, about things there. But I was also in that frame of mind, like, I'm young, I can be flexible. I had that beginner's mind. So I went into teacher training, and the first thing she had us do was do like a 25-minute meditation. And I'm kidding you, my back was burning. I was like, what is this? What's happening? What's happening?
I remember.
And that anxiety creeps up.
With Jan, correct?
With Jan.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. She's great at holding space.
Oh, yeah.
So we did that. And that was sort of my first ticket in. Like, I didn't do much yoga before I took training, as many of my students do. They take a class or two with me and they dive in. And I always tell them it is really one of the best ways to learn.
Yeah, it is.
You might not physically be as conditioned as somebody who's been practicing for a few years, but mentally you're going to get like this organization that you wouldn't have had if you just started taking classes and trying to practice at home.
Yeah.
So I did my teacher training working at Progressive, and then I quit there, went to another job. But the whole time I'm teaching yoga.
So you did go right into teaching.
I went like before I was even certified, got started going.
Yeah.
I taught anywhere I could. I taught in dirty gymnastic rooms. I taught in cult fitness centers that were loud and dirty. I taught at people's homes. Yes.
Yeah.
I did a lot of chair yoga with elderly people who found my website. I had like a really primitive website. Went to their homes. Right away, the most rewarding thing I had was she was like 70 and was going to have to be on oxygen, and she was scared. And her daughter, who was a doctor, told her she should try yoga.
Oh my gosh.
Within 3 times of doing it, she was breathing better. Her balance was better. Everything she had. I was probably going there for about 6 years.
Whoa.
One of my oldest clients is 85, and I've been seeing her for almost 10 years.
Wow.
Yes. I love them.
What year was that you like started this belly dancing class and then went right into the teacher training? Was that all like in the same year?
Yeah. Yeah. That was like my year of self-discovery.
I did
like women's martial arts for like self-defense and stuff.
Yeah.
I did belly dancing. Well, you figure the man I was with was very busy.
Yeah.
He kept telling me he was working. So I kept myself busy because I was
working his wife and kid.
Uh-huh.
Oh, boy.
Right. So belly dancing, yoga, self-defense, anything I could get my hands on, you know. And then I was also doing my master's degree at Kent State for art history. I was driving there 2 times a week because Progressive was really flexible with my schedule. But I ended up quitting the master's degree to keep getting trained in more yoga because that was when I found Shiva. I went into Shiva Ray. I did 300 hour with her. I did Try for Life's 500 with yoga therapy.
Mm-hmm.
I did not too much longer after that Thai massage training. So I really just like immersed. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So that was back, I think I was certified back in 2000, and I feel like 6 is what I see in my head.
Mm-hmm. So more than 10 years it's been.
I'm mm-hmm. close to like going on 13 mm-hmm. years, I think, next year. I think that sounds right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you weren't sure when you went into the training that you were going to become a teacher. Why did you decide to become a teacher? Just because you just enjoyed the practice so much? Or
I don't know. There was something. What yoga did for me was spiritually was the missing link.
Yeah,
I was always a goddess gal. Yeah. I always had shrines of all kinds in my house, fairies and whatever. Okay.
So Jan was perfect for you.
Yes, she was in that regard. What was lacking was discipline.
Yeah.
So I needed somebody to kick my ass.
Yes.
That was Shiva. Shiva is Durga.
Yeah.
You know, she comes out and
my 500 hours the same.
Yes.
Yes.
That's what I needed. I needed someone to say, your body should look this way and feel this way. Oh, and let me pay homage to Karen Allgaier. She's my other Durga teacher. I mean, she mm-hmm. really got me strong. So with Shiva, I got really great at orchestrating myself in vinyasa, but structurally not that great.
Yeah.
And Karen was the one who really refined my asana practice and helped me get strong. But also that sense of clarity. Just every time I was with her, things were clear. Mm-hmm. Like it was just and organized the way she
with
taught.
With Karen.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I needed the yin and the yang.
Yeah.
You know, essentially. So I needed the goddess stuff, but I also needed that straightforward asana practice.
I would say that Karen Allgaier and Shiva Ray are just about complete opposites.
Yeah.
That's
amazing. And that's my teaching, though. I can marry those two aspects together with alignment and with being in that beautiful, artful state of flow.
Yeah.
But also, at the same time, my students need that. They need that state, but then they also need me to
need
crack
structure.
The whip and go, get the shoulders back and place your foot here.
Yeah. That's amazing. So your teachers, Jan Hauenstein, Judy Barr, Karen Allgaier, Shiva Ray, anyone else?
Those are the the pretty big components. The other teachers would be more meditation.
Yeah.
I studied with Yogi Raj, who passed away, unfortunately, a few years ago. That was wonderful for the meditative mind. I've done some work with Chris Tompkins through Shiva's program and then taken a lot of his online study. He's the one who is studying all the yogic scriptures and retranslating them, mostly tantric texts.
Wow.
And he's the one who's really exposing that yoga has sort of been defined wrong, and we even mistranslated a lot of the scriptures. So new information's always coming out.
Yes.
Like even on how we chant Om.
Yeah.
It's not really Om. It should be Ong.
Oh, yes, exactly.
With the NG. He calls it the beehive.
Yes.
So a lot of that.
Atma Darshan will teach that.
Yes, she will.
Yes.
Yes. I have studied quite a bit at the Atma Center.
Yeah.
Just any of their workshops I could take.
Yeah.
Things like that. So,
yeah, that's
all
a great
around.
Resource.
And then I got married and pregnant, and there was the end of all that fun.
Except now you own a studio.
Yes.
I mean,
yeah.
You pretty much have totally dove into spreading and sharing this practice and healing. I mean,
yes.
It's pretty evident. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I'm so happy to meet you and talk to you because I'm like totally blown away by you right now. So let's talk a little bit now about this space, Awaken Yoga.
Okay.
Tell us a little bit about the background. You mentioned earlier that you've had a few different spaces, you've moved around a little bit, but what is kind of your mission here? Who are your clients?
Yeah.
You know.
So I lived in Euclid, and they had a wonderful center called the Shore Cultural Center. And it was an old school that essentially a lot of people rented rooms in. You could find anything
I know
there.
That space.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I was teaching at a studio, and it didn't work out, and I was doing my first teacher training through the Metro Parks. I called the Metro Parks, and they basically told me, yes, I could rent this cabin, and then called me like after I'd advertised and said, no, because it's a business thing, you can't do that because you're getting money. And I kind of flipped out, and I was like, what am I going to do? So...
signed up and everything?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So I kind of called and talked to someone important, and he was really nice. And this was so neat. They put me in a different location every weekend we had a training. So I got to see all the different things at the Metro Parks. And it was beautiful. The students loved it. They loved it. So we got the access of all the natural stuff around us on top of these lovely, you know, little, like, they felt like retreat centers, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So that was my first one. So then after I realized that wasn't going to work out again, they said, we can't do that again.
Yeah.
I realized I had to settle in and find a place. So I did my second teacher training out of my home. And I had a very small home. So it was just four ladies.
Wow.
And we did it in my living room. But they also said they loved it because they were at my house and they had the cats and
tea. It was relaxed.
It was relaxing.
Yeah.
But they turned out to be wonderful teachers.
Oh, wow.
So then after that, I was like, I really got to get a room. So it's scary. You're in this by yourself. You're like, you know, can
you
I
pay for
rent
this?
And all that? And I didn't want to jack up my prices too much. So you go to Shore Cultural Center and they give you a really, for an 800 square foot room, I paid virtually nothing.
Yeah.
Now the heat was questionable and the safety at times was questionable.
Yeah.
But I was there for 2.5 years.
Is that where One Tree Yoga is?
One Tree Yoga was there. So my friend Michelle owned One Tree and I actually helped her manage One Tree when she moved to Hawaii for a while to do like some kind of cooking thing.
Oh, cool. Okay.
She moved there for a while. So then eventually when we realized she wasn't coming back, I told her, I said, please sell it. I can't help you. And the other girls that were helping, we were just getting too tired.
Yeah.
And then I opened up my space, which she was aware of, but my space was functioning as a school. I wasn't competing with her for studio or anything, just the school. So she sold it to a young lady that I trained, and she bought it. So that was really nice, and we worked well together. So then her and I got closer, and then we took the Awakened name and opened up a place in Menor right after I had my first child.
When was that? What year?
So that was in 2012.
Okay.
So I couldn't have done it without her. I really needed the help. Yeah. And we were sort of opposites. I was very techie and marketing and stuff like that. And she liked the action. You know, she was like painting with her family and everything. So we whipped this place together and get it together. And it was beautiful. It was two stories in this old house right here in Menor. It was gorgeous. And then after a couple of years, she decided to take off and do her own thing. And then it was back to me again, which is fine. I'm really good at just doing my own thing.
Well, and you were established at that
point. I was already established and everything. So it was, you know, mostly, you know, with all the name and everything, it wasn't like I had to transition anything.
Yeah.
So she did her own thing, and then we started to get really busy, which was great. But it wasn't busy enough for me to justify expansion. So I waited literally to the last minute and then said, you know what? I don't want to sign another lease here. It wasn't feeling right. The neighbors were pretty bad. And we had really lots of conflicts with parking. And then I saw this place. And this place was just like the one in my heart.
This place is amazing.
Yeah. So unless I'm like going to be in the mountains somewhere, I mean, this was like ideal location, great landlords, beautiful space, parking and everything.
Yeah.
But the idea was in the other studio, the school sustained the studio. The studio didn't really own itself. It wasn't big enough. We didn't have enough room to expand that part, but the school was doing a great job holding the fort.
Yeah.
When we moved here, the studio got its chance to shine. All the teachers had a room that they could really move around in, and the music they want to play, and the beautiful altar and everything really shined. So the whole focus of my business was surrounding yoga education at its best.
Yeah.
People coming in, feeling comfortable, feeling like they had a mentor. We didn't want 20 people in a training.
Yeah.
You know, 6 to 10. And then all of a sudden we had one training where we had 12. And I was like, I got to move.
Yeah.
And they were wonderful. And I'm so glad I accepted all of them because I really thought about cutting it off at 10. And two girls called and like begged me.
Oh, wow.
And I said, they're like, this is the right time, the right place in my life, blah, blah, blah. I don't want to wait. And I'm like, okay, you know.
Yeah.
And they were beautiful groups. But I realized that that was Durga or Lakshmi or someone saying, it's time to get the hell out. And I was scared. I was so scared.
Yeah.
You know, yoga is an impermanent thing for a lot of people. It is. If the economy drops, the first thing that's going to go is going to be yoga.
Yeah.
Like, at least as far as being in a studio.
Yeah.
So, and a Absolutely. Big decision to make for my family. Yeah. And it was time.
So, you're really, this is really a learning space.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of what I'm gathering. I mean, and now with just having the regular classes, people can just come and practice and maybe decide when they're ready if they want to do a training.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And they can. They can progress their practice or they can stay in the same class with the same teacher for as long as they want. But most of our community is, they love a lot of the different teachers. So we see so many people peppered through the whole thing. It's not like, oh, I love Jen, so I'm just sticking with her.
Yeah.
I might have four or five people that do that now.
Yeah.
Whereas I feel back in the day, that used to be the way it was. You stuck with your teacher.
Yeah.
Here, they're like, well, I like Jen when I want this, and I like Emily when I want that, you know?
Yeah.
They really understand that we're going to take care of them no matter what.
That's good. Do you guys each encourage that? Try others?
Oh, yes.
That's great.
Yeah. The teachers, you know, we try to get them to take a different class with all the teachers. So they cross over. I give the teachers discounts to take training because I want them to be educated here. And, you know, they should. They should be rewarded for all the hard work they're doing.
It's important for sure.
Yeah.
That's really great. I mean, I've been in both studios where the owner director would encourage, take other classes, come and practice with everybody. You're going to learn something different every time. And then I've been in the other situation where it's like, I'm only going to this teacher.
Right.
Well, can you just let everybody know that it's everybody's you're going to learn something.
Right.
You might find somebody that you like a little better. You might find that on this day you need this or this day.
There's no competition with staff.
No.
The staff is wonderful. They love I can't tell you how much we love our students.
Yeah.
We talk about them all the time. We love them.
I felt that in that class. Yeah. I'm so blown away by this community. We know who they are,
what their family life is, what's going on in their lives. If they want to share it, we know them. We have cups of tea with them. We go out sometimes with them just for like an informal dinner. We have potlucks here. You know, we...
That's important.
We like to know what's going on. And that helps us be better teachers for them too.
Yeah.
Yoga's personal. It's so deeply personal. That I can't see it any other way, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's like a home away from home for a lot of people. I think yoga studios become that. And that's what builds the community.
Yeah, absolutely.
And growth and healing.
Mm-hmm. Right? Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it. So let's then focus, since really you are a learning-based studio. Let's talk about this. I was reading on your website, this inner, you have this Inner Wisdom brand of teacher training.
Yes.
So this is your brand of what, like the 200-hour and the 300-hour? Is this?
No, the Inner Wisdom is yoga therapy training.
Oh, yeah.
So I got trained through Jan and Judy with their style of yoga therapy, and they do it through the chakras.
Mm-hmm.
And it's mirrored a bit to Phoenix Rising.
Yeah.
And then I went out to Phoenix Rising after I got certified with Jan and Judy a couple years later, and I wanted to see what they were doing. So I did, like, they call it modules. I did their module one.
Yeah.
And the teacher there, who I loved, but unfortunately also passed away.
Wow.
She and I talked quite a bit, and I really enjoyed, like, seeing where Jan and Judy got their inspiration from and being in it and, and hearing it their way.
Yeah.
So what happened was, is I took it back home, and I was pretty busy as a yoga therapist, a lot busier than, from what I hear, most people.
Yeah.
Law of attraction, I think. I loved doing it, and people loved getting it, so it just worked. But it can be heavy duty. So the type of yoga therapy is you're in a very supportive environment. You're fully clothed. You're laying down. So the type that I was trained in was you would hold a yoga pose for like ever. So let's say you held pigeon for about a like half hour on one side, then switch to the other side. And you would talk your way through things that were coming up.
Wow.
So what happened was is I got a client who was pretty obese.
Yeah.
And she couldn't do any of the poses. So I didn't want to discourage her.
Yeah.
So I laid her on the floor and we did Shavasana and we talked with the method that I was trained in, but I added a little bit more. So what I noticed was with the yoga style, yoga therapy style from before was there was really not like a way to send them home with homework and to really encompass the stuff that's coming up that's hard for them to deal with.
Yeah.
They needed more tools.
Yeah.
And it's not like I'm giving them advice during a session. Essentially, they're still doing the work. It was just I added a little bit more dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
So it started to evolutionize. And then all of a sudden I decided they can't just jump into this. They need a warm-up. So I do something the first time you come. It's called a chakra scan.
Mm.
And there's lots of different chakra scans out there. But this was just the one that I downloaded from God or whatever. Okay? Because one day I'm just sitting there and it just comes in.
Nice.
So as the chakra scan's coming in, I'm going, oh my God, and I'm writing it down and I'm practicing as someone. I'm like, this is crazy. This is great. So I started doing it every time the first time a client came.
That's perfect.
And then after they would come sequentially after we could work it through a chakra, all the chakras, we could pick one chakra, do a session, aim it on that area. Now the work has progressed so much for me that I can do multiple chakras in a session. Depends on the person and what they know and what they understand about their mind and their body.
Wow.
So after I evolutionized it so much that it's so different from how I was trained, I felt that I could give myself permission to call it Inner Wisdom.
Yeah.
So then I trained some people. It was originally called Body Wisdom. And then I dropped the Body Wisdom and trademarked Inner Wisdom because it was available and it made more sense to the work. And it's
it makes perfect sense.
Gorgeous work. It's the most rewarding work. Sometimes I have people come in who are just stressed out. Sometimes I have people come in who are sexually abused. Sometimes I have people come in who are recovering from deep loss.
Yeah.
And you have to be impeccable at holding space. You have to be completely unselfish and completely unjudgmental.
Yeah.
Because if someone tells you their stuff
and
you don't agree with what they've done or what they've been through, or even if they have been abused and you just get really mad for them, you can't do that.
No.
They're not there for that.
No.
So you have to drop all that
And
just hold the space and utter compassion and guide them in.
So would you say this is more of an emotional type of therapy rather than a physical, like healing an injury or something like that?
Yeah, so I decided to distinguish the two. So yoga therapy is sort of the talk therapy of yoga.
Yeah.
Therapeutic yoga is the, hi, my knee hurts, please design a practice for me.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. That's a really good...
Right.
Yeah, breaking that up. I like that. That's perfect. So in your teacher training for Inner Wisdom, how long is that training? Is it a full 200 hours or is it just a, like a...
So this is something I've been playing around with for a while. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I've had people do the back door where they do Inner Wisdom and they don't have a yoga certification.
Okay.
And they do just fine. Sometimes even better because they're so open to all this.
Yeah.
Then you have people go through the front door. I have a 200 or 300 hour training. I'm going to do Inner Wisdom too to complement my practice or whatever.
Yeah.
So I see benefits to both. So I'm leaving the program like that. So what I did was... The program's now about 100 contact hours, and then you do about 50 to 60 contact hours on your own because you have to practice a lot.
Yeah.
Students are recording, so I'm still with them. I listen to the recording and give them complete feedback on several sessions. And if they need more, then they will do more because this is something you can't just write a certificate for.
Yeah.
You have to really be in the work with them.
Absolutely.
I have to say a lot of people don't make it through the program because it's too hard for them. Like, it's just like something they are scared to do, don't think they'll do. It's intense on them because you have to get the work.
Yes. Right?
You have the work being done on you to understand it.
I'm sure a lot comes up.
A lot comes up. And there's really, like, you can warn someone as much as you want. They can come in this room with me and get sessions and, you know, it all depends.
Yeah.
And it's life too. People are busy. And so I try to be real honest with people. Like, you're going to need, for Inner Wisdom, you're going to need 6 to 8 hours a week at least to devote to doing the reading, doing the projects, working with people, whatever, you know, at least. And honestly, it's not even that much.
Yeah. It's not, no.
Right? But to some people, they can't carve that out.
Yeah.
They can't carve it out.
Yeah. They have to be committed.
Yeah.
So do you guys train at all in a group setting or is this,
So 6 to 8 people tops for this.
I would imagine.
An even number's nice because then they can practice, you know, we practice in pairs and stuff. But you can't have too many people. And people have to understand confidentiality, right?
I was going to say that.
Yeah. Day one, if you're out here chatting with the receptionist, like, I just, you know, this just is so amazing this happens and you're announcing to the world. Right? You have to be really mindful of confidentiality. And some people, again, that's hard for them.
Yeah.
You know, they want to talk about the experience they're having. Like in teacher training, you can talk about whatever you want.
Yeah.
But in this is sort of like hush, hush. You know, I always tell them like it's between you
and the client
and God. And that's it. And if they if they're okay with you talking about it to me after you're certified, you can ask them if you need help. But otherwise, it's between you and them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So you are offering then support if they need it
afterwards.
Yeah, I would imagine you'd have to probably until
people... And I want to.
Yeah.
I want them to have... And some of my students have gotten like really tough clients off the boat. Not because the client's tough, just because the situation is intense and I get the client passed to me. And then sometimes I get people who I just can't fit into my schedule.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, it's not life-threatening. And then they go and get maybe a more downsized session with a practicing student.
Yeah.
So it's nice. We have a nice kind of flow with how things get organized.
Yeah. Wow. It's definitely way more... I'm glad I asked you these questions because I get a way better feel for the work that you're doing here. So do you also offer a 200-hour training?
Yes. Because
I know a friend of mine has gone through. That's Tatiana.
So Tatiana did my 300-hour training, which means you get the 200-hour basic yoga training, and then we did 100 hours of yogic studies.
Yeah.
So she got a specialized weekend on just chakras, on just philosophy, on just history. So we did that for a while.
Okay.
So then we went back to the 200 hour because after I had baby number two, I just didn't have as much time as I did to devote with one group.
Yeah.
So I moved back to the 200 hour and me and Anne, Anne Andre, who is the anatomical and restorative therapeutic guru.
Okay.
And the training decided 200 hours is the drop in the bucket. It is nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, they're great at what they're doing when they're teaching in front of you, but to enrich your dialogue... to deepen your practice, you need more time. So we decided to go back to 300 hours.
Nice.
So now it's going to be a nice, it's still a well-rounded program. Our program is, it's not vinyasa based. Mm-hmm. I used to do a vinyasa training. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'll do that again. Yeah. I loved it, but Hatha therapeutic is what people need.
Yeah.
So you can teach.
It's a great foundational point for new teachers. It's that's it.
Who are you going to teach when you have to practice? You know how many people practice on their mothers, grandmothers, fathers?
Exactly.
People who've never moved before.
Yeah.
They need to learn how to do yoga in a chair, yoga in an office, yoga in a fitness center.
Yeah.
One-on-one yoga. We do case studies, so they have an opportunity to work one-on-one with people. Mm-hmm. And Anne and I are so passionate that they get the information properly.
Yeah.
And we also, like, know what's going on in our students' lives again. Like, we make it a personal experience.
That's good.
I cannot tell you that Jan really knew what was going on in my personal life, but Judy did.
Yeah.
Judy was the one who was a little more personal. And that's how I modeled, how I taught. I felt more from that perspective.
Yeah.
Jan was wonderful for taking you outside of yourself.
Oh, yeah.
But Judy was wonderful for, like, helping you deal with the crap that was going on in your life. Like, when you find out your boyfriend is married.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. Yeah, sorry. So I got off topic there a little bit because I just wanted to clarify the different types of training that you were offering. But the reason why I'm here was tonight, this Goddess Intoxication class, which is a sampling of this new programming that you're about to offer, of women's studies.
Yes.
So I just want to just give so much gratitude for you doing this in this community. It's so needed.
Yeah.
So let's talk about that. So what first made you decide to manifest a program specifically for women?
So it started with the prenatal training. Mm-hmm. I have a nice, compact prenatal training that's not intimidating.
Yeah.
I don't really follow the Yoga Alliance guidelines on that because, honestly, we know the Yoga Alliance is just a registry, right? It's not checking up on me. So I think there says something ridiculous, like 80 hours. I'm like, oh my fucking God.
Yeah.
Like, that is so long. Like, I think people can get the understanding.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, if I want to be an expert in it, but most people want to come in and just know how to modify and teach women who are pregnant.
Yeah.
And I used to do it all the time.
Yeah.
So after I had my first child, I did the doula certification, and I loved it. And it really opened a door in how I was teaching prenatal yoga, having my child, then doing the doula training.
Yeah.
So then I set up the prenatal certification. I think we did like 22 hours.
Yeah.
So that's continued to grow like by a couple hours every year.
Okay.
So that was sort of branch one of women's studies, like getting people the information they know about the changing prenatal body. But that, again, is the drop in the bucket for what women are dealing with changes in their body. So then I'm now doing a master's of aromatherapy sciences.
Mm-hmm.
So that was another piece, like this whole like subtle body piece of healing, herbs and aromatherapy and women and what we can do to manifest a healthier transition in our life. Like right now I'm in sheer mother phase.
Yeah.
But it wasn't long ago I graduated from maiden into mother, and then the crone piece is going to come up.
Yeah.
So making sure
it
that
comes
we do
faster
that
than
with
you
grace.
Think.
Well, it does.
It really does.
And then of course, every class I teach, I'm talking about some kind of goddess, the moon and how it rules us. And then I've done a lot of work with Jolynn Lewis, who owns the Womb Wellness Center.
Wow.
She does something called Mayan Abdominal Massage.
Okay.
So I meet Jolynn. She starts doing the Mayan
at
my
studio. Is she local?
She moved to Solon now, but she has a wonderful center in Solon called the Womb Wellness Center. She's a doula. She's a licensed massage therapist, and she is one of the only people in the state certified to do the art. They call it the Arvagio. I'm probably saying the wrong technique. Mayan abdominal massage.
Mm-hmm.
So she understands everything about the uterus, the uterus, the uterus, the uterus, and just like how it is the health center of our body for women reproductive.
Yeah.
So all this is spiraling, all these buckets of things that I'm learning and stuff. So finally, I sit down with Jenna, who is our prenatal teacher here and was my doula, Anne, who is in my teacher training program, Jolynn, and then two new people, Colleen O'Rourke, who's Kundalini.
Mm-hmm.
Her and I did a goddess intoxication retreat a long time ago when I was pregnant.
Ah.
And she does like radiant beauty rituals for women and all this Kundalini amazing stuff for women. And then the other piece was Christina Casella, who is amazing woman's herbalist, women's healing, women, just amazing. Wow. So I said, I am going to reach out to all these women that I love who are experts in their field.
Yeah.
And say, are you guys interested? And let's just do this.
Yeah.
And taking their pieces of expertise and putting it into one program, but short, like accessible to somebody who's never done yoga before, just wants to come with their sister for a couple hours.
Yeah.
So anybody can come, yoga teachers, women who've never done yoga, who just want to explore, whatever. That's what it's about.
Yeah, it is very exploratory. Your class this evening was very exploratory. Yes. Yeah.
Be curious about you yourself and who you are and your sensuality and all the things that make us different, you know, make us different.
Yeah.
Let's explore it.
Yeah, and you made a point in the class that we've gotten away from the goddess and the woman in our culture.
Yeah, she's hidden.
But it's coming back. I mean, you see it's coming.
Look at all this boho stuff. Does that look very masculine to you? Boho is everywhere.
It definitely is.
Right? It's so sensual. And Pinterest.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, Pinterest is so second chakra. Pinterest gets people's creativity going.
Yeah.
Scrapbooking is huge now.
It is.
Yeah. And it's like all these different layers of, seriously, defined feminine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's great. And I love the awakening.
Yeah.
Hence awakening yoga. Yes. So let's break down then, you mentioned a few of the topics. Let's break down the topics that you're going to be presenting
for the women's studies. Mm-hmm. Okay. So women's studies is essentially the prenatal training if you wanted to take it as a teacher. Mm-hmm. And then two goddess intoxication mini retreats. Mm-hmm. So everything we're doing is retreat style learning except for prenatal training, which is straightforward information.
Yeah.
Retreat style learning. So goddess intoxication, you'll come in, you'll have some asana, some meditation, mantra, introspective exercises like journaling and something creative like that. And you'll spend 6 hours immersed in you. Hello, a half a day just for me, right?
Sounds needed. Amazing. Sounds necessary.
Yes. And we'll feed you some healthy treats too while you're there.
Nice.
Then the women's studies is going to be broken up into 3 mini days. Mm-hmm. So you'll have an evening that will kick off with women yoga and the moon with me. Mm-hmm. And you'll understand a little more about your lunar body. And then you'll go into a womb meditation with Jolynn. And she'll talk a little bit about the uterus and also take you into that sort of pelvic area of your body through meditation.
Yeah.
That's the first night. The second night will be Radiant Beauty with Colleen. She's going to come in and do an entire Kundalini practice geared towards women and beauty.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
So exciting.
Yeah.
Then after Colleen, I'm going to talk about aromatherapy for women and let everybody explore the oils that are really good for women, your health and your skin and everything like that.
Yeah.
I'll take a little break and then Christine's going to come in and do the herbal wise woman, essentially. And she's going to talk about tinctures and herbs for women, again, through all 3 phases of life. And I believe then we close with Anne the next day. And Anne is going to do basically Wise Woman and the Crone, I think is what we named it finally. There was lots of different names. But essentially the transition from mother to crone.
Yeah.
And things you can expect in your body. And this is amazing. And I didn't really realize this until just this year. You should probably change your yoga practice as you age. Oh, my God. And the reason why I realized this is because I had a lot of health issues for some reason coming up. I had a knee thing happen and a groin thing from having my daughter Ella.
Oh, yeah.
And all these, like, wonky things happening in my body. And then finally I realized, I'm like, shit, I'm getting older. Like, it just happened. I was fine, and then all of a sudden, I hit a crossroads.
Yeah.
So my practice changed, and my body's changed, and my exercise routine has changed.
Yeah,
same. So that's what we want women to understand is we are with you for every transition.
Yeah.
We understand it's happening, and we want you to have all the information that you can have so this becomes organic.
Yeah.
And that's you're not comparing yourself to anybody other than you and your ideal health.
That's what women did back in the day. I mean, it was a community of women that they transitioned together. They had rituals and rites and
have you read the Red Tent? They supported each other.
No, I have not read that. I know. I need to.
The Red Tent and Women Who Run with Wolves.
Okay.
2 fabulous books.
I need to introduce you to Dana Chasen. Do you know her?
No.
You guys need to meet. Okay, sorry, that's totally off topic too. She fine. Just, I don't know, you guys, she's been on my podcast.
Okay,
you
guys, I'll check hers out then.
Yeah, it's on the Wheel of the Year. She talks about rhythms as being cyclical.
Yes.
And she's also a moon goddess. She does moon retreats, full moon and new moon retreats every month.
I'm totally listening to that.
Yeah.
Fabulous. Yes.
All right, I'm going to introduce you guys. So then let's see here. You also mentioned the instructors. Do you want to talk a little bit more about the instructors
sure.
or like details about their background? You mentioned a little bit.
Sure.
But, okay.
So Jolynn owns the Womb Wellness Center.
Okay.
And she is certified through DONA, which is the big place for doulas to be certified through.
Yeah.
So she essentially runs a DONA certified doula business through her massage center. The mm-hmm. Womb Wellness Center also promotes things like fertility for women and reproductive health and all kinds of little workshops on that. And then also they have a bunch of licensed massage therapists on staff.
Wow.
So it's a lovely, lovely place in Solon, Ohio.
Yeah.
Then Christine has like an amazing organic herb farm.
Whoa.
I think it's in Chardon. Her and her husband have several acres. And she hosts, like, she's doing, like, herbal yoga with Jenna Hall that's here, who does the prenatal at our studio. And her and Jenna basically co-teach. So Jenna does the yoga, and Christine comes in and does, this is cool. She makes, like, a tincture.
Yeah.
Has you drink it before class. Doesn't tell you what's in it. Then you take class and you experience something through the yoga and the herbs. And then afterwards, she talks about the herbs and what it was supposed to do to you. And people are like, oh my God, that's exactly what I was experiencing.
Wow.
So she's a certified herbalist. She also works with permaculture.
And
her husband both work with permaculture. Mm-hmm. And she's a mom and a natural mama all the way. Mm-hmm. I think she had the second baby at home recently. So
wow.
Yeah, she's wonderful and someone to really learn from. She makes beautiful products. We sell some of her products here.
Oh, great.
She has a store on Etsy too, I think.
Okay.
Then, and her company is called Light Footsteps.
Okay.
And then we have Anne, who does all the stuff in the teacher training for the anatomy and stuff. Anne has, like, the accumulation of several master's degrees in yoga. Anne has studied with, like, Doug Keller, Judith Hanson Lassiter, Bo Forbes, all these very large-named yogis. She goes every year for several trainings. So she is always up to date on the newest, hottest information out there when it comes to therapeutic yoga.
Nice.
She really is fantastic. And she also loves the mantra piece of yoga. There's something she's very connected to with the yoga of sound. She also studied with, and I can't remember his name now, he wrote a couple of books about mantra yoga. There's not many out there.
Yeah.
She studied with him in India. So,
wow.
Yeah, very big resource. Colleen has her Kundalini certification, and she's always studying something somewhere. Mm-hmm. She's a nomad. She has traveled and come back to Cleveland so many times.
Wow.
She has a daughter. She's a single mom. She's based in Cleveland, but she comes out here and does special events.
Oh, cool.
So we'll do like a workshop series and stuff with her. I've worked with her for a long time.
Okay.
She's one of the kindest, nicest people you'll meet. And the Kundalini girls with their skin from all the breathing, just radiant, beautiful skin.
Yes. It's so true.
Yeah. So they are a team.
That sounds like an amazing team.
Yeah. And then you have Jenna Hall, who does the prenatal training with me too. Her and Jolynn do that with me. And Jenna she used to write a magazine called Mother Wit Magazine.
Yeah, she told me about that.
Oh my God, the most amazing home birth magazine everywhere. Put it together herself every quarter.
Wow.
Birth stories. She has so much to share with the women who come here that are pregnant. So much information. It's her life passion.
Yeah.
And we're so lucky to have her.
Yeah, and she's going to be my next podcast
guest. Yes, she is. Yes.
We're doing a month for women on the podcast.
Sounds good.
We should do it all year, actually. But I don't want to isolate anybody. I don't want anyone to feel left out.
Right.
Those men.
Right.
Okay, that's amazing. Why do you think this women-specific programming is so important?
So I think it's over 80% now of people who practice in the United States are women.
Yeah.
And of course, as modern history tells us, it used to be the other way around.
It was.
Only men.
Yeah.
Women weren't allowed to practice yoga in India. It was all men. So you go from this total male-oriented practice to, you know, the divine feminine making its way back. And it's so needed. Everyone needs it. It's right. so balancing. My husband loves yoga. He absolutely loves it. So does mine. It's wonderful. And you see how much they change when they come back from having their practice. But for me, my passion in studying with Shiva Ray, especially, when I met her and connected into her way of doing things, I can't tell you how hungry I was. I was like starved. Yeah. And I had studied with pretty much goddessy gals. I mean, Jan and Judy are very girly goddessy angels and the whole thing. But something about that connection that Shiva has to Durga and the warrior piece, but also then the sweetness too.
Yeah.
She has that total spark of fire, but water at the same time.
Yeah.
And then I'm more earthy than I think than any of the teachers I've ever had. So that combination of elemental, it just was unreal. And I just, you can't translate that always to man, to men. It takes a certain kind of man to really want to always come and take my class. And I do have a few over the years that have peppered in that love me and like, but they are a different kind of man.
Yeah.
I'm not linear. I'm not going to let you just go front to back. Yeah. You're going to make a circle and you're going to make figure eights and all kinds of things in your body. And I guess I'm not as pitta when I teach as I seem to be right now.
Yeah,
it's much more organic. So women, that they bring out the best in me.
Yeah, I think that you're the perfect person to create this program here. I'm really, as I get to know you here, I'm gathering that. It's very, it's almost like the universe has completely conspired over this studio to create this programming.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I'm excited for you.
Thank you.
And I guess, you know, I had a question here. I'm looking at our time. So we're at 45 minutes. My last question about that specifically is, who's your audience? But you kind of already said that. It can really be just about anybody. Obviously, women.
Yeah.
But you don't have to be a yoga teacher. You don't have to have any certifications or trainings.
No.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyone can take anything pretty much here. The women's studies, we're going to talk about the uterus and parts that men don't have. But outside of women's studies, men, women, anybody can take anything here and really get a lot out of it. Absolutely.
Yeah. Great. Where can my listeners find more information about all of your stuff?
Sure.
The studio and the programming. And
so awakenyoga.com is the key website. There's a bunch of sub-menus. The one for teacher training, I think, is called Yoga Education Now.
Mm-hmm.
And if you drop down on there, all of the things will be sublet, you know, listed. Women's studies, 300-hour training, inner wisdom training.
Okay.
So that's there. We have tons of stuff under our workshop tab. So if you don't want to make a big commitment, most of our workshops are 2 to 2.5 hours tops.
Great.
You can totally check out a really easy, cheap workshop. yoga classes, we have them 7 days a week, usually one or two in the morning and then 2 or 3 at night.
Yeah.
And
how full are your like regular yoga classes?
In the fall, I haven't done a fall here at this big location, but at the other location we were sold out a lot.
Okay.
And we could fit 15 people.
Okay.
Here, the bigger room, I'm hoping will maintain that 15
to 18
kind of number.
Yeah.
The room's big. I mean, it'll fit 30 people, but we're not into packing people in like sardines either. So it's not our thing.
Yeah.
But on a busy, busy night, we'll have between, let's say 12 would be a lower number and 18 would probably be more of a busier night.
So it's comfortable.
It's comfortable. There's plenty of props for everybody, plenty of space. You saw we had the complimentary tea.
I know. The water. Tea the looks table amazing.
Yep.
All of it. The shop. There's so many amazing products here.
Yes. Yes. We have the aromatherapy piece is going to continue to grow as I get educated.
Yeah.
So.
And just to be clear, it's not really a clothing shop. It's like a wellness shop.
Yes.
It's like goodies for wellness.
And subtle body. You know, like we got the chakra candles and the goddess candles. And pretty much every product out there is something I love.
Yeah.
Or a teacher here loves, you know.
All right.
We've got the jade mats and the blankets.
Yeah.
But everything else is something you can smell, something you can slather on your skin, something you can light or read. Like the idea is you can walk into here and make an awesome home ritual practice space. That's sort of the way I designed it.
You designed it. Yes, I felt that immediately. And as soon as I walked in the door, it smelled amazing.
Yes.
The smell was wafting even out the door a little bit because the door was open.
Yeah.
I was like,
all the aromatherapy.
Yum. And then, are you guys active on social media? Do you blog?
Yeah, so we have a Facebook.
You have your own blog too.
I also have my own blog. Yeah. I haven't blogged for a few months now. I've been really being a good devoted mom. Mm-hmm. But the blog is my name, jenniferlangsdale.com. Mm-hmm. The cool thing about my blog is over the years it evolutionized to be, again, sort of this thing where you could do like a little self-ritual. Mm-hmm. So there's actually a self-ritual tab. I'm plugging that tab. It's my favorite tab.
Yeah.
It talks all about kind of like things we did tonight with how to build a home altar, how to get into that devotional space. There's a few audios on there. Everything's free.
Yeah.
There's a few audios on there. I do have a meditation ebook that's really nice that's for sale. I think it's like $6.
Okay.
But yeah, that will continue to grow as I get more time.
Yeah.
But for now there's a bunch of stuff on there.
Okay. And that's on jenniferlangsdale.com.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Let's see here. Do you have a favorite women specific yoga resource that you would like to share with my listeners?
As far as like a website?
Yeah. Or anything? Book, website.
Books, something. Yes.
Yeah.
So The Red Tent, Women Who Run with Wolves.
Okay.
And then tonight's practice, when your listeners hear it, a bunch of that stuff that I quoted was from Sally Kempton's book, Awakening Shakti.
That's on my list, yeah.
She also has a CD that goes with it. It's not a book on tape. It's the actual, like, practices that she gives.
Yeah.
And she's wonderful. And she does, like, her and Shiva both do, like, TED Talks and stuff, so you can YouTube them. Mm-hmm. And then Shiva Ray's book, Tending the Heart Fire, is amazing. Yoga teachers especially would love that book.
Okay.
And then the last one is the Shakti Mantra books. Mm-hmm. Shakti Mantras are awesome because they talk about like the Bija Mantras and some things we did tonight. And there's one called Inner Tantric Yoga by David Frawley, who also does the Bija Mantras. And really well explains them. Like, it's not just something you just chant to chant.
Yeah.
There has to be a purpose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Those are great.
Yes.
Any final nuggets of wisdom about the goddess intoxication or the women's studies or anything that you want to share as a last?
I always tell my students and anybody I meet that life is unbelievable. There's so much to it, so many layers to pull back, and to please be curious and to please get uncomfortable. You have to get uncomfortable. Otherwise, you're just going to sit and watch TV and eat potato chips. Like, that's what's going to happen. That's what we were bred to think. You go to work, you work a job you don't like, it gives you benefits and 401k, and you sit on your tushy after you get out of work and whine and watch TV. That's what I saw from half of my family growing up.
Yeah, same.
My mother was the light. My mother was like, get your butt out there and do what makes you happy.
Yeah, wow.
But, yes, that's what I would say my words of wisdom are. Be curious.
I love that. Get uncomfortable. And that's something that yoga kind of forces you to do.
Yes, it does.
Maybe not right away. Maybe right away for some.
Right.
Maybe it evolves over time, but it's definitely did that. It's done that for me.
Right.
But that's great. I love that. We'll leave it at that.
Okay.
Thank you so much. I am so grateful to have you on my podcast.
Thank you
for your time, for your energy, for the space. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yay!